Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, September the 28th of 2021. And I'm your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you from here in Midland, Michigan, where I live. And I'm so glad that you made the determination to tune in to this broadcast tonight, wherever you may be tuning in from, whatever it is that you're doing, whatever it is that you're whatever it is that you're doing, I'm just so glad that you would tune in. And it just blesses me when you tune in. And I know that he wants to bless you. And you know, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, just thank you for taking the time out of your day. And just glad that you decided to prioritize tuning in. And I don't just do this for something to do. I do it for God, because I feel like this is something God wants me doing. So obviously that means I do it as a ministry. And I pray that over the years, as I've been doing this show, I pray that as I've been doing this, that you've been being ministered to by it. My prayer is that your life has been changed through it. And it's just been so amazing over the last 4 years, ever since I launched this program. And I tell you, God has just been so faithful. He really has been faithful to me and to my family. And I mean it. And I think it's cool whenever you see these athletes, whether it be high school or pro or whatever, and they may set a record, or maybe even when they just get to, we'll say, something like the Super Bowl or the World Series or the NBA Finals for the first time. And some of these athletes, you'll hear that they gave the glory to God and thanked God for it. I remember when Kurt Warner won a game, a big key playoff game on the road back in the 2008 season. And apparently there was video of him on the field, on the road, and he was yelling, "Thank you, Jesus!" He was thanking God because obviously God was helping him. God was helping him to do that. Just like I feel like God over the years has helped me do this program. And honestly, I feel like God is in this. And that's why I do this, because I know that God is using it. And so sometimes it's good to just take a minute and kind of share from your own heart. Like, that's what I was just doing the last few minutes, about having God be involved and be thankful to God for helping you. Because when you thank God, in a way, it shows humility. It does. I'm glad that Kurt Warner that day had said, "Thank you, Jesus," instead of saying, "Oh yeah, I'm the best." Because some of these athletes, they might say, you know, they're unbeatable. We can beat anybody. We don't necessarily even have to practice. Like Allen Iverson, practice? Well, sometimes when they do that, they get beat, don't they? Yep, they get beat. Pride comes before the fall. But you see, when you put your trust in God, that's where it's at. And relying on God to help. Not relying on your own willpower, your own natural wisdom. Because there'll be times where your own natural wisdom will fail. But anyhow, so we're going to continue on in the parables. No, I was going to do that, but now I'm going to start digging into some of the different teachings of Jesus tonight. Teachings. We have some parables left, but tonight I want to get into one of the teachings of Jesus. Okay? And so that's what we're going to be doing tonight when we open the Word of God. Because he had parables. And then he also had teachings. parables and teachings. That's what he had. We are also going to have a little bit of a sports update. We will let you know what happened in the NFL last night. As well as my take on the Tigers. And also a little more on my take from this past weekend with University of Michigan football versus Rutgers. So, though it's not football central, we'll be having some discussion tonight. Because Monday and Wednesday night, on Monday night I talk about the games that happened. On Wednesday night, I do my predictions for the upcoming weekend. Which, by the way, listeners, yes, Football Central will be back tomorrow night as normal. And my colorful nicknames for these football teams will be being used. Including nicknames for, of course, the opponents. Will they be the same as the ones I've been using? Well, you'll have to see. By the way, when I do that, I borrowed that from this Nick Kincaid guy who's been a sports writer for the Detroit News / Free Press. Not all the names I use are his. Only some. That's just kind of so you have an idea when I come up with these names. Mr. Miracle Man, where did you get those? Well, Nina, and where do you get your picks for those scores from? Well, obviously the score is a guess, but part of it takes into account how the two different teams have been doing. That's part of what it looks at. And, for example, if it's a high school game, another thing could be, does it seem like they have players that are much bigger, faster, or stronger than your own? And sometimes I may have to pick those scores accordingly. Just kind of let you know what goes into those. All right. Programming note, and that is August came and went a month ago. Excuse me, sorry. October 12th and 13th, I will not be live on the air on either one of those two nights. Why? Because I will be in Clarksville, Tennessee at a Holy Spirit conference. And as I shared last night, I'm excited about what the Lord is going to do. Not going to spend really any time talking about that tonight. I might, like, tomorrow or next week as it gets closer. Okay. So we got that. Another thing. If you start to hear marching band noise later in the show, do not worry about it. If the band comes in the stadium, you know, just don't worry about it. Where I live is basically across the street from a high school football stadium. And so if you hear it, then you hear it. But I'm still going to talk through it. And no, my sermon is not going to change to singing if they're playing. No. Nope. It's not how it's going to work. Just in case you folks were thinking of giving me any ideas. Nope. And so that is that. Another thing I want to say. I want to encourage you listeners to please tell others how they can be a part of the show. They can log online to blogtalkradio.com. Again, the website is blogtalkradio.com. In the search bar, they can type in Upfront Entertainment. Then they can click on the link that says Live in Large. And then, you know, fastly, they'll find us, Miracle Man, and they'll be able to tune in. And for what you can tell them, we go live every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night at 6:30. And we go until just about 8 o'clock. Sometimes a couple minutes before, but generally we're wrapping up basically right at 8 o'clock. And so we talk about the Word of God. We talk about, you know, fun things that might be going on. And stuff like that, as well as sports. And yes, for those of you who wonder, Miracle Man, do you talk football? You know, if you tell people how they can be a part, and they ask you, you know, does he talk about football? Oh, yeah, I do. Monday and Wednesday. Oh, yeah, I do. And, of course, I give you my predictions, which I did not give you my score based on how I thought it was going to be. My score was, I accurately picked 5 games out of 6. Yeah, 5 out of 6 were accurate. Excuse me, 4 out of 6, because I just realized we had an NFL game that was not what I thought it was going to be. And yes, there were others that were games that I didn't even pick. But the way it works is every week I put together the two Midland High schools. I pick their games. Michigan's game, Michigan State's game, and now my college football game of the week, but for whatever reason, I couldn't think of one. And then Lions, and then another NFL game of the week. And so Yeah, 4 out of 6 this week. And of course, remember, it is always a smart idea to listen to this program on your smart device. Always, always. Yes. Also have two other announcements. First of all, I want to remind you about our book, Rivers of Miracles. Rivers of Miracles is the story of the first 30 years of my life. It even talks about what was going on with my mother just before she had me. And I'm not going to tell you all the details because I want you to read the book. If I tell you everything, if I sat here and told you every detail, you might not have the need to, the desire to read the book. So you can go online to riversofmiracles.com. Again, that is Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com. All one word, riversofmiracles.com. Find out about the book, how you can get that book in your hand, and let that book be a blessing to you, and read it. And then bless someone else with it. And then they can bless someone else with it. And we can spread that thing. Amen. For others. Amen. The other thing I want to mention is our PayPal. You can go online to paypal.com. If you wish to sow a seed into the Miracle Man show, and I always like to say this, you know, I want you to consider sowing a seed if the show has been a blessing to you. I really hope it has been a blessing to you. I really do, because I enjoy doing it, and I just love bringing you the word and all the different things and all that. I do. Your listeners are awesome. But the reason I want you to sow isn't just, oh, I want money from you. No, no, no. If you feel like, oh, he wants my money, keep it. Keep it. It's because I want you to get blessed by God. And you don't necessarily get a big return on your tithe. Why? You don't get a big return on your tithe because the tithe is the Lord's. It's not like, oh, it becomes the Lord when you get it in the offering, put it in the offering envelope. It's not like, oh, it was the Lord until you took it and kept it. No, it was already the Lord's, and it is the Lord's. What you do get from the tithe, though, is you get the protection of God, the rebuke of the devourer, given to 7 and also unto 8, because you do not know the evil that is planned. You know, for the day. By the way, that went back to Ecclesiastes. No, I'm not doing the whole eight offerings thing. No. No. I'm not doing that. But, when you give unto the Lord, when you sow a seed, that's where the return comes in. That's where you're opening the door to the blessing of the Lord on your finances. That's where that comes in. And so every time you sow a seed, and I get notified that seed has been sown into the program, I pray over that seed. And I pray that you get a hundredfold return on it. Amen. The verse I want to sow into your life today as it comes to the offering is what says this. No, the first word is not this. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that. But he who soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. This means like by the heart. Give, give, give. Don't give, don't give, don't give. Don't give, don't give, don't give. Give, don't give, give, give. Don't give, don't give, don't give. Give, 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 give. Don't give, don't give, don't give. You know, sparingly. Sporadically. You sow sparingly shall reap sparingly. You see, God looks on the heart. As you see with the woman in the Bible who gave that last mite and put in all that she had to live on. When other people gave these huge offerings, these huge amounts of money, God looked higher on her. No, not because she was poor, because she put in everything she had, which wasn't even that much. But he who soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. So you're still reaping. You sow, you're reaping. You reap. He who soweth bountifully, you know, out of your abundance, and you sow a lot, you know, even percentage-wise. You sow bountifully, meaning you do it all the time. You shall also reap. You shall reap bountifully. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. That's the way it works. That's the way this kingdom, this sowing and reaping and offering thing works. That's the way God set it up. It's fair, it's just, it's equitable. And God bless you as you sow your seed tonight. Hey. Amen. Now we're going to get into some worship. Then we're going to get into the word of the Lord. Oh, 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 oh. He's coming on the clouds. Our God who comes to save, with broken hearts declare his name. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain. The sin of the world, his love breaks the chain. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. Our God who comes to save, came to set the captives free. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain. For the sin of the world, his love breaks the chain. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain. For the sin of the world, his love breaks the chain. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I see a king, the King of Glory, coming down with clouds of fire. The whole earth shakes. The whole earth shakes. I see his love and mercy rising over all our sins. The people sing. The people sing. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. I see a generation take their place with selfless faith, with selfless faith. I see a new revival stirring as we pray and sing. We're on our knees, we're on our knees. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
You are the one, you are holy.
You are the one. You are worthy. You are the one. You are the one. Everlasting. Lord, you are the one. You're the one who made the heavens. You're the one who shaped the earth. You're the one who formed my heart long before my birth. I believe you always lead me. All my thoughts have been, my days have been ordained. All your thoughts toward me are holy, full of love and grace. You are the one, you are holy. You are the one, you are worthy. You are the one, you are the one, everlasting. You are the one, you are holy. You are the one, you are worthy. You are the one. You are the one, everlasting. You are the one I will worship. You are the one I will serve all my days. You are the one. You are the one, everlasting. Lord, you are the one. You are the one, you are holy. You are the one, you are worthy. You are the one, you are the one, everlasting. You are the one I will worship. You are the one I will serve all my days. You are the one. You are the one, everlasting. Lord, you are the one. You are the one. Lord, you are the one. Lord, you are the one. You are the one. You are the one. You are the one. Lord, you are the one. Yes. Oh, Father God, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father God, Thank you, Father God, for your hand being upon us. You are the one that goes before us. You go behind us. You are the beginning. You are the end. You are yes and amen. You are the one that I worship, the one that I praise. Nothing else. Thank you, Father God, that you are with us and that you help us as we seek you, as we worship you, as we ask for you to help us as we go about our lives. Thank you for what you for what you mean to us. And I just thank you that you are moving on our behalf, that you are calming those storms that are blowing all around us, that you're just calming all those different storms that are all around us. And I speak peace to those storms, peace to those waves, peace to whatever these different situations are all around us. Thank you, Father, that you are there. You, the one. You are the one helping us. And just thank you, Father. I make my confession. And I ask you, Father God, I pray that you would meet every need represented on this program tonight, whatever these needs are, healing in the body, whether it's something with the finances, mental, whether it's whatever it is, thank you that you just meet those needs that are represented in all these different listeners' lives. And that you meet all these needs. You meet them. And I give you all the honor and glory and praise for that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' matchless name. And now I make my confession over this program. I say that sponsors and partners would come into this program. I say that increases in listenership would come into this program. I say that finances would come into this program. Most important of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great and wonderful Miracle Man Show program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Let's make our Bible confession. Because the Bible says we can have the fruit of our lips. Amen. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can have what the Bible says I can have. I can do what the Word says I can do. This book is more than a storybook to me. It is more than a history book to me. And it is more than a religious book to me. Tonight, I am a believer. Therefore, I am a receiver. and I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn with me, please, to the book of Mark chapter 9. Amen. Mark 9. And we'll see what the Lord has for us tonight. I'm going to begin reading with verse 1. If you haven't found it, go ahead and catch up. Verse 1, and Jesus said to them, my version says he, but I always like to say Jesus. Jesus said to him, said to them, I tell you the truth. Some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power. We had read about the transfiguration yesterday, so I'm going to skip all those verses. Skip, 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 skip. All the way down to 14. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them. And the teachers of the law, Pharisees and Sadducees, which are Sadducees, as they were there, can't go anywhere and do any miracles without them. He saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder, and they ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? Jesus asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Oh, unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you, and how long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into the convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He is dead." Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him to his feet. He stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive this demon out?" Jesus replied, "This kind can only come out by prayer." They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. And he said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed by the hands of men. They will kill him. After 3 days, he will rise." They did not understand what he meant, and they were afraid to ask him about it. 33. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had been arguing about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12, and he said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him by the arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me does not welcome just me, but he welcomes the one who sent me." Verse 38. "Teacher," said John, "we saw a man who was driving out demons in your name, but we told him to stop because he was not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said. "No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you the truth. Anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward." 42. "If anyone causes one of these little ones to sin," I mean these little ones who believe in me, "to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a big millstone tied around his neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell." Where the worm never dies and the fire never goes out. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell, If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hellfire, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. If it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. A couple different things I want to discuss. So let's talk about this salt thing. In Matthew, it talks about how we are the light of the world. It talks about how a city on a hill cannot be made hidden, not be hidden. It talks about that, how we're supposed to be the light into the world. We're supposed to be a light into the darkness. We're supposed to be a light. We're not supposed to be darkness. We're supposed to be light. We're also supposed to be the salt of the earth. And you say, how? Well, people should know us by our love. People should know us by our lifestyle. People should know. You know, we're Christians. We're saved. They should know us. They should want to be like us. They should. They should ask questions. They really should. They should ask questions. And if they don't ask, then, well, I don't know what to say. But even what I read tonight talks about, you know, salt is good. But if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? In the Matthew version basically said it's with nothing than to be thrown out. Just imagine, when I was little and I first would pay attention to that verse, I'm not talking about the first time I heard it, I'm talking about when I would start to pay attention to it. I used to think of it like some good salty, buttery popcorn. This is a good analogy to use. If that salty, buttery popcorn loses its flavor and you put nothing else on it, how can that salty, buttery popcorn, how can that salty popcorn be made salty again without putting more salt on it? So we're the salt and the light. And we're the redeemed of the Lord, so we should say so. You know, that doesn't mean you hide in a corner, People should see you. See us in the restaurant when we pray over our food. They should see us when we, you know, how we conduct ourselves. They should see, you know, they shouldn't see us being like them. No. Let's talk about this idea. Whoever is not against us is for us. You know, there's not like this in between. If someone's not against us, you know, they're for us. And we know that if God is on our side, which he is, if our God is for us, then who can stand against us? No man can stand against us because our God is with us. That doesn't mean that none of us all face persecution or anything like that, but we know that God is on our side. You say, why did Jesus bring this up, Mark? Why did he bring this up? Jesus brought this up because in that passage, it said, those disciples said, you know, someone was driving out demons in his name. He said, well, teacher, someone's driving out demons in my name. And they were driving out demons in the name of Jesus. But we told him to stop. Because it's one of us. He was not one of us. He said, don't stop him. That would be like if I was around in Jesus' day here on the earth and I was, you know, saying, you know, there's such and such and such and such. And I know it wasn't right, and I said, like, come out in the name of Jesus. And then if the disciples saw me and were like, sir, stop. Like, that's what it would be like. And he said, you know, no one who's using my name in that manner and is driving out demons in my name can the next moment say bad things about me. Referring to Jesus. He's saying that generally that doesn't happen. He's just saying that doesn't happen. Now it's different if they're driving them out in some other name other than the name of Jesus. When you're using the name of Jesus and driving out true, bad, foul demons, you know, good, powerful stuff. And another thing I want to mention, Jesus was teaching the disciples, you know, if you cause a child who believes in the Lord, if you cause a child who believes in the Lord to get into sin, you're going to give an account for it. You're going to give a serious account for it. And could be in very serious trouble with God. If you cause one of these kids to decide to not serve, if they decide to get into sin, and you caused them to do it. If you caused them to do it, you're going to give an account to God. It's not going to be pretty. Unless you repent for it. And you just decide not to repent, you could be heading to hellfire. Where the worm does not die, and the fire is never quenched. And you got to say, not everyone liked the teachings of Jesus. Not everyone liked the teachings of Jesus. But they're good. They're powerful. And many people that were following him from place to place, you know, and they were just following him. And at one point in the scripture we read tonight, Jesus was talking about, he was asking, you know, the disciples, what were y'all arguing about on the road? Well, they were arguing about who was the greatest. And Peter's obviously like, well, I'm the greatest. Thomas is sitting there going, well, no, I am, Peter. John's like, no, Peter, I am. James is like, no, men, no, my brothers, I am. That's what a lot of them are thinking. But Jesus basically told them, no. Whoever is the greatest must be, whoever is the first must be last. And last must be first. Whoever wants to be the greatest must be your servant first. If you want to be the greatest, you got to be a servant first. You don't just naturally become the greatest. And even some of these superstar athletes who become the GOAT, the greatest of all time in their position, they have to start somewhere. You know, see what the kingdom of God, who wants to be the greatest, has to first be a servant. Got to be a servant first. Have to. And we have more teachings in Matthew and Luke and John, what I'm going to be getting into. And right now I'm just doing this whole series on Jesus, the parables of Jesus, miracles of Jesus, teachings of Jesus, and I've been enjoying it. I'm really enjoying this. And I think tomorrow night I'm going to deal with Lazarus, who experienced. I tell you something, listeners. Hell is not a place you want to go. You should not want any of your family members to go there either. It's not some made-up place. It is for real. Not a place you want to be. Do everything you can to stay out of there. Stay away from there. Please. Because you don't want to be there. You don't want to be there. So please stay out of there. Live right so you can avoid it. All right. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. Thank you for these teachings about being light of the world, salt of the earth, for being anyone who's not against us is for us, and all these other different teachings tonight. And I just thank you, Father God, that we would be doers of this word. We would do your word. We wouldn't just be those who only hear it, but then do nothing about it, don't live like it, don't just decide it doesn't matter, we don't care. No, no, no. No, no, no. Thank you, Lord God, that we would do your word. And live the way you taught us to live. In your mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, sometimes you just be, you know, doing something, thinking something. Sometimes I just feel the presence of the Lord, and it's just so tangible. And it's just wonderful. I don't know about you, but I love the presence of the Lord. I love it. I love it. Amen. So now for sports. You see, the Tigers have been one of the hottest teams in baseball since May, like late May. Unfortunately, they were so terrible in April and early May that it made it so that they could not make the playoffs this year because they were not winning enough games when they were hot to cancel out all of the losses that they had. There are talks that the Tigers should maybe go for two big-time pitchers in free agency, possibly. They'll have to look into that and see. And at least for the Tigers, I think we can say that better days are coming. And that is truly good news. For me as a fan, that's good news. Good news. Excited to see what the future holds for us. I really am. Now, and even Cabrera, he did a little bit better this year than what he had been the last couple of years, which is good to see. Gives me hope that he could maybe have another year or two left. We'll have to wait and see. Just wait and see, as they say. And being how bad Detroit sports teams have been recently. It's been rough to watch. Maybe we can find a way to turn the corner and be just like Tampa. Because you had the Rays in the World Series last year. You had the Buccaneers win the Super Bowl. And then you have the Lightning win the Stanley Cup, where that city is on fire when it comes to sports. Fire. On fire. You know, whether you want to say fire. You know, however you want to say it. So why do you say fire like that? I won't tell you if it has anything to do with Rodney Howard Brown or anything like that, who is from Tampa. And so as it comes to sports, you know, hopefully the Tigers will do better next year. My hope is, I'm glad to see Jared Goff. At times he's showing promise. And there's also glimpses of hope when it comes to the running game, which are good to see. When we have those going our way, that really is good to see. When we have that working for us. And it makes it easier to watch. Now, Michigan football. Well, they've been running the ball a lot lately. But even a guy on Click on Detroit was saying that Michigan football will need to have more of a passing game in order to keep doing really good in the Big Ten as Big Ten play has started. They'll have to have a decent passing game against Wisconsin in order to beat the Badgers on Saturday in Camp Randall Stadium, which is a very tough place to play. It's a tough place to play. It really is. And so we'll see if they can get the passing where they want. Another thing I want to say real quick. So today I was over on a rail trail here in the city. We have a rail trail system, and it goes near Northwood. This rail trail goes right near Northwood University, and we're on it earlier, and I hear this guy say, this softball coach. And he was telling these athletes, you know, there's a right way to play the game. There's the wrong way. We do it the right way. And I was thinking, you know, he's right. But it's not just clean versus dirty. It's like mistakes versus less mistakes. All right, until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.